I stood the chair upright again and pushed it in neatly behind the desk, picked up his gun, and ejected the magazine. It was full. 8 bottlenecked 5.45mm Soviet pistol shells. They're roughly the same size as a .22, and they're slow, but they're supposed to hit pretty hard. Soviet security forces were supposed to be happy enough with them. I checked the chamber. There was a round in it. I checked the action. It had been set to fire. I reassembled the whole thing and left it cocked and locked, put it in my left-hand pocket. Then I went through his clothes. He had all the usual stuff, a wallet, a cell phone, a money clip without much money in it, a big bunch of keys. I left it all there, opened the rear personnel door to the outside, and checked the view. Beck and Duke were now hidden from me by the corner of the building. I couldn't see them. They couldn't see me. There was nobody else around. I walked over to Dell's Lincoln and opened the driver's door, found the trunk release. The latch popped quietly and the lid rose an inch. I went back inside and dragged the body out by the collar, opened the trunk all the way and heaved it inside, latched the lid down gently and closed the driver's door, glanced at my watch. The 5 minutes were up. I would have to finish the garbage disposal later. I walked back through the glass cubicle, through the back office, through the secretarial pen, through the front door, and outside. Beck and Duke heard me and turned around. Beck looked cold and annoyed by the delay. I thought, so why stand still for it? Duke was shivering a little, and his eyes were watering, and he was yawning. He looked exactly like a guy who hadn't slept for 36 hours. I thought, I see a triple benefit in that. I'll drive, I said, if you want. He hesitated, said nothing. You know I can drive. You just had me driving all day. I did what you wanted. Dahl told you all about it. He said nothing. Was it another test? You found the bug, he said. Did you think I wouldn't? You might have acted different if you hadn't found the bug. Why would I? I just wanted to get back here fast and safe. I was exposed 10 straight hours. It was no fun for me. I got more to lose than you, whatever you're into. He said nothing to that. Your call, I said, like I didn't care. He hesitated a fraction more, and then exhaled and handed me the keys. That was the first benefit. There's something symbolic about handing over a set of keys. It's about trust and inclusion. It moved me closer to the center of their circle, made me less of an outsider. And it was a big bunch of keys. There were house keys and office keys as well as the car keys, maybe a dozen keys in total. A lot of metal. A big symbol. Beck watched the whole transaction and made no comment about it, just turned away and settled himself in the back of the car. Duke dumped himself in the passenger seat. I got in the driver's seat and started the engine. Arranged my coat around me so that both of the guns in my pockets were resting in my lap. I was ready to pull them out and use them if a cell phone rang. It was a 50-50 chance that the next call these guys got would be because someone had found Dahl's body. Therefore, the next call these guys got would also be their last. I was happy with odds of 600 or 6,000 to 1, but 50-50 was a little too rich for me. It was a 50-50 chance that the next call these guys got would be because somebody had found Dahl's body. Therefore, the next call these guys got would also be their last. I was happy with odds of 600 or 6,000 to 1, but 50-50 was a little too rich for me. But no phones rang the whole way home. I drove smoothly and gently and found all the right roads. I turned east toward the Atlantic. It was already full dark out there. I came up on the palm-shaped promontory and drove out onto the rock finger and aimed straight for the house. The lights were blazing all along the top of the wall. The razor wire glittered. Paulie was waiting to open the gate. He glared at me as I drove past. I ignored him and hustled up the driveway and stopped on the carriage circle right next to the door. Beck got straight out. Duke shook himself awake and followed him. "Where do I put the car?" I asked. "In the garage, asshole. Around the side." That was the second benefit. I was going to get 5 minutes alone. I looped all the way around the carriage circle again and headed down the south side of the house. The garage block stood on its own inside a small, walled courtyard. It had probably been a stable back when the house was built. It had granite cobblestones in front of it and a vented cupola on the roof to let the smell out. The horse stalls had been knocked together to make four garages. The hayloft had been converted into an apartment. I guessed the quiet mechanic lived up there. The garage on the left-hand end had its door open and was standing empty. I drove the Cadillac inside and killed the motor. It was gloomy in there. There were shelves filled with the kind of junk that piles up in a garage. There were oil cans and buckets and old bottles of wax polish. There was an electric tire compressor and a pile of used rags. I put the keys in my pocket and slid out of the seat, listened for the sound of a phone in the house. Nothing. I strolled over and checked the rags, picked up a thing the size of a hand towel. It was dark with grime and dirt and oil. I used it to wipe an imaginary spot off the Cadillac's front fender. Glanced around. Nobody there. I wrapped Doll's PSM and Duffy's Glock and her two spare magazines in the rag, put the whole bundle under my coat. It might have been possible to get the guns into the house. Maybe. I could have gone in the back door and let the metal detector beep and looked puzzled for a second and then pulled out the big bunch of keys. I could have held them up like they explained everything. A classic piece of misdirection. It might have worked. Maybe. It would depend on their level of suspicion. But whatever, getting the guns out of the house again would have been very difficult. Assuming there were no panic phone calls anytime soon, the chances were I would be leaving with Beck or Duke, or both in the normal way, and there was no guarantee I would have the keys again. So I had a choice. Take a chance or play it safe. My decision was to play it safe and keep the firepower outside. I walked out of the garage courtyard and wandered around toward the back of the house, stopped at the corner of the courtyard wall, stood still for a second, and then turned 90 degrees and followed the wall out toward the rocks, like I wanted to take a look at the ocean. It was still calm. There was a long, oily swell coming in from the southeast. The water looked black and infinitely deep. I gazed at it for a moment, and then ducked down and put the wrapped guns in a little dip tight against the wall. There were scrawny weeds growing there. Somebody would have to trip over them to find them. I strolled back, hunched into my coat, trying to look like a reflective guy getting a couple of minutes' peace. It was quiet. The shorebirds were gone. It was too dark for them. They would be safe in their roosts. I turned around and headed for the back door, went in through the porch and into the kitchen. The metal detector beeped. Duke and the mechanic guy and the cook all turned to look at me. I paused a beat and pulled out the keys, held them up. They looked away. I walked in and dropped the keys on the table in front of Duke. He left them there.